Right. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's two titles to the talk. You can kind of choose whichever one fits you better. The nice King James spiritual one would be Bring to Remembrance, if you're that sort of person. Or if you've ever been to New York, I was born in New York, you could go with Forget About It. We actually heard that in the gifts, very first gift. Helped me relax a little bit and forget what's in the past and move forward. So we're going to kind of look at that idea of memory, and we heard about that as well, sparking a memory with a conversation, sparking a testimony. And I just like the idea that if you love something, then you'll remember it. And it's going to stick in your mind because it's something that you care about. So we love the Lord, and we can't forget about him. We can't forget what he's done for us. And in this life, we do have busy lives, and we have things that we forget about all the time. We forget where we put our keys. We had an experience with that earlier. And or little things where you know, whether or not you lock the door, your kids' names, maybe, I don't know. How many times you've told the same story. But it's not about that kind of stuff. It's about more spiritual things. And even just the little things, it's easy to forget to read and pray every day. And our mind, I'm not an expert in memory, but our mind kind of works like a computer, right? Our brain judges what's important and puts it into files. And then when we remember something, we kind of pull up that file. And it doesn't always work perfectly, as we know, especially the older we get. It seems harder to get the right file at the right time. And there's different science around it, but how many times you need to hear something to remember it could be up to 20 times before you actually really remember it. Anyway. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. And this was referenced this morning as well. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? So he's kind of just asking and reminding God, aren't you this God that has done all these different things for us? And it just made me think, do we really need to remind God of who he is and what he's done for us, or is it more for our own benefit? Right? Does God forget what he's done for us? Of course he doesn't, but it is easy for us to forget. So we remind ourselves what God has done. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Right? When we don't know what to do, we look to God, and we know what he has promised in the past. We can remember what he's promised, and we can remember what he's done for us, and that helps us to know what he will do in the future. And of course, we don't know what he's promised unless we read. Right? We can't figure out what the promises are on our own. So we don't worry about what he's going to do in the future or what we will do in the future. We rejoice in knowing what God will do for us. So we could say to ourselves, I know that I can't, but I know that God can. And let's go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 2. Just one quick verse here. So we'll just read this one verse, verse 4 in Revelation 2. It's a warning from Jesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So we hear that a lot, to remember our first love, to remember that first day that we received the Holy Spirit. No matter how many years ago it was, and that feeling that we had, that assurance, that peace, that joy that came with the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking out in tongues for the first time. And just that gratitude and that appreciation that we had in that moment. Okay. I don't know everybody here, but if you haven't had that experience, today could be that day for you, and you could remember this day for the rest of your life. Also in Hebrews 6, we won't turn there, but it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget the work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." And that's Hebrews 6:10. God doesn't forget what we do for him, so we shouldn't forget what he's done for us. And I make a list on my phone. I have a list of everything that God's done for me that I, if I remember quickly enough to write it down, but it's great. I put them in opposite order, so the oldest things are at the top. So to add something new, I have to scroll all the way to the bottom, and every time I forget how long it takes to scroll to the bottom of the list, and it's great. It's better than putting the new things at the top, I think. And one talk that I heard kind of early in my walk, I was going through a bit of a trial and kind of questioning everything and wondering if I could keep this up for my whole life. It just seemed like it was too hard. Walking in the Lord was too hard. And I heard this talk where the pastor said that this was kind of the secret to happiness in the Lord. He said, "Forget about the things that you think God has not done and remember the things that he has done." So anytime that we think, oh, God didn't do this or he didn't do that, we're probably wrong. But even if we aren't, we can forget about those things and just focus on what he has done. And those things will get us through. Yeah, and every time we pray, we're reminded again that God is with us, and it reminds us of the things that he's done for us, the most important thing, that he's filled us with the Holy Spirit. And I think we've all had those days where we say, oh, I forgot to pray today, or I forgot to pray yesterday, I forgot to read. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we never really forget. We just choose to do other things instead. And so it's good to be honest with ourselves and not just blame it on our memory. I guess kind of an easy excuse. But it's just building habits. And we have a brother in Fresno that talks about habits a lot. He's into analyzing things and building these good habits. And he just talks a lot about how habits are difficult to form, and it's always going to be painful at first. But after a while, it does become easy. So we just make that effort to form good habits. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry, that was... apparently I'm dyslexic as well. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Sorry about that. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I just wanted to read you a verse from John that you probably know well while we're on the topic. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Right, so how do we remember things? We remember things by the Holy Spirit. It's there to help us. But a couple other ways that we can be reminded. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." All right, so Peter's telling them that he's going to continue to remind them of things that they already know until he dies. He's never going to stop. No matter how many times that they've heard it, he's going to continue reminding them over and over. And he wants to be completely sure that they never forget. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior." So again, he's just trying to stir up those memories, to spark that memory, like we heard, of what was said by the prophets and by Jesus. He's bringing those things to their remembrance. Let's go to Jude real quickly, book of Jude, one verse. Goes right along with that. It's not just Peter that feels this way. Jude verse 5. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. So I like that idea that both Peter and Jude make no apologies about repeating themselves and saying things that people already know. They know that it's important, and they know that people need to be reminded. And I think we can all agree that sometimes it's boring to be reminded of something that you already know, especially if you're young and your memory's really good and you remember everything that you're hearing. So, oh, I already know this. But it is better to be bored than dead, right? So if you're bored to death right now, you can remember that. And but really, you're being, if you're in that situation, sometimes you're being bored to life, right? You're being reminded of something that is so important, it's worth being told over and over. Something that's worth being boring, I guess, if you feel like you've heard it over and over. All right, Judges chapter 2. All right, Judges chapter 2. I'm going to read a few different verses here, starting in verse 6. It says, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So, good start. Verse 10. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves before them, and provoked the Lord to anger. So, a big change there. One more little set, verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. So, just back and forth. They had a good start, but then they forsook the Lord. They forgot what he'd done for them, and then the next generation did poorly, and then did well, and then did poorly. They kind of went back and forth, but I guess the idea is that we can't let our children or the people who are young in the Lord forget about what the Lord has done, and I just think it's important to remind them of what the Lord's done in our lives, the people who've been around longer and seen more things, to tell them our testimonies repeatedly to the point where they're bored, and to maybe for kids, have them repeat our testimonies even back to us or to other people. Just encourage them to share testimonies that they've heard until they have testimonies of their own, because we don't want to be like we've read about the generation that raises a generation that forgets about the Lord. All right, couple more. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We know that our memories kind of have limited space, so we want to make sure that we're not filling up our memory with worthless things. Like, I have all these 80s TV show theme songs in my head and sports statistics and all these things that really aren't that important, that could probably be, I could use that space for better things like scriptures. Using that space efficiently, and just in the natural sense, we can always do things to help our own memories, repeat things to ourselves, tell other people, teach other people. I've definitely found that that's the best way to learn something, is to teach it to somebody else. But in Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And it's just a simple scripture, but I was just thinking that if we speak like a Christian, if we always speak the way that a Christian speaks, then we don't have to try to remember how a Christian speaks when someone asks us a question. And we don't have to think, well, what would a Christian say in this situation? Because it's what we're used to. It will be ingrained in us. And a wise person once said, if you tell the truth, you don't need to have a good memory. And because when you're making up stories and lies, you're always having to cover it up and trying to remember what you said. So if you tell the truth, you don't need a good memory. That was the wise prophet or prophetess, Judge Judy. This actually came up yesterday, the idea of practice makes perfect. And we hear that in a worldly sense, maybe in sports or something like that. But that's only true if we practice the right things. Practice doesn't necessarily make perfect, it makes permanent. So whatever it is that we practice will become permanent, good or bad. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect in a good sense. Running out of time. There's also plenty of things that we need to forget or want to forget. We heard in the gifts, we don't need to remember our past. We can put that aside and remember what God has done. So forgetting about what we've done wrong and remembering what God has done right. And if we keep reminding ourselves of our mistakes, we're always going to be miserable, or each other's mistakes. And it kind of made me think of like watching the news. Right? We watch the news and it's current things that are happening. It's not old news. It's current. So you might be able to imagine a news station that only played old news stories, things that aren't really relevant to us. The gospel isn't like that. It's not old news. It's good news. It's news for now, for today. That's good for today because today is the day of salvation, and it's good for tomorrow because it's basically the first day of eternity. Right? Eternity starts tomorrow. So we spread the good news today. We don't wait. I also heard a great saying from one of the pastors in England. He said that I don't let things bother me because there is too much good stuff to be happy about. And I don't let things bother me because there's too much good stuff to be happy about. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just a couple more quickly. So this is kind of how to forget. And if we're trying to forget things, but they won't go away, this is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Easier said than done, but every thought, we bring every thought into captivity. So we have to fight. We have to fight to control those thoughts, those negative associations, those bad memories, old things that keep coming up. We drive those thoughts away, and eventually they will die. And I heard an amazing testimony from one of the brothers in Holland, and he was talking about his past and how he'd done all these terrible things when he had left the Lord for a short time, and he felt really bad about it. And he prayed to be freed of those memories, and he can't picture what he did anymore. The things that happened, he still knows what he did, but he can't picture it in his mind anymore. The memories are no longer vivid. I just thought that was an amazing testimony that it can be put away, that God can put those memories away for us. And so the idea is that God can kill our bad memories if we stop reviving them. All right, last scripture. Let's close in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1. And as best I could figure out, this was written about 60 years after the Christian church began on the day of Pentecost, and our fellowship hasn't been around quite that long. Do you know how long, Pastor Tim, our fellowship has been around overall? Though, as a whole, the Revival Fellowship? It's close, 60 years? Okay, that works. So this was written roughly 60 years later, and so we can kind of think about that for us as well. This is what John said that people needed to be reminded of 60 years later. Verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's reminding us to remember the things that God's allowed us to see and to hear and to touch and to experience. Verse 5, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so we're just reminding us to walk in the light. Let's go to chapter 5, sir. Chapter 5, verse 19. So he goes through a lot of other reminders, reminding us that we can be forgiven, reminding us that we can't love the world, that we have to love God instead, that the world will pass away, but the word of God won't. Reminding them to stick to the original gospel and the promise of eternal life. And here's kind of the last reminder, chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So, he ends with reminding us that we do know the truth, that we do know Jesus, that we do know God, and that one day we will know eternal life. And all the people said, we'll leave it there.